You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody, and you can join our conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We were just talking about economic illiteracy with Stephen Dubner of Freakonomics, who's still with us. Tell us your story of how you reduced your economic illiteracy, or what aspect of economic illiteracy you would like to reduce. Also, if you really want to win the Lexus this morning, come up with a new jingle for the Big Mac, which turns 40. We're going to be talking about some contestants who are trying to write a new jingle for it, you know, to all beef patties, special sauce, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And we already have a bunch of negative ones, like the Big Mac will kill you. In any case, we want to shift gears this morning. We are taking a periodic look around the nation to what kinds of sort of thought experiments, what sort of twisted rethinking is taking place in the environment where oil is at $140 a barrel or $130 a barrel. And it's certainly changing the way people look at their land. In the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York, the energy crisis for those residents has those officials and citizens in this pristine sort of New York bedroom wilderness looking at a wealth of natural gas that may not lie beneath the wilderness of the Catskills. Joining us to discuss the community's rethinking and the possible process whereby this landscape might be transformed is Ilya Maritz, who's a reporter here at WNYC Radio. Thank you for joining us, Ilya.
Hey, John.
And Abram Lustgarten, who's a reporter for ProPublica.
ProPublica,
a nonprofit investigative news organization. Abram, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, what have you guys discovered in the Catskills that really is unprecedented for this community, thinking about itself as a natural gas source? I mean, Qatar is a natural gas source, but not the Catskills. Ilya?
What we found is that people are leasing their land for very serious money. It's interesting. I went out and I talked with a bunch of folks whose dads or maybe even whose grandfathers had experienced wildcatting. So they'd sign a lease, back in the 1940s, and nothing would ever happen. It wouldn't be worth that much, but it would be a little extra money at Christmas or something like that. Now those people are signing leases for really big amounts of money.
Like how much?
Well, I guess when this whole craze started, we were talking like $25 an acre. That's about $2,500 an acre now. So you're talking, if you have a 200-acre farm, you can make a ton of money.
And the industry interests who are buying these leases are saying, really, that they're doing the community a favor. Listen.
I can't think of any other example where an industry is willing to come into New York State and spend that kind of money developing local resources without asking for a handout. They're asking for a regulatory environment that makes it work.
Abram, who's speaking and what are they talking about there? That's energy industry lobbyist Tom West, who's talking about companies making investments in the actual community. What are the incentives that are really pushing citizens to offer these leases, to sell leases of their own land?
Well, much of the potential drilling that could happen is upstate in veritably poor areas, some of the poorest parts of New York State. And there's no doubt that the economic benefit that could come in from gas drilling or any kind of energy exploration is extremely attractive to some of these people, so attractive that it overwhelms environmental concerns or any other political concerns that might surround the
Everybody
the
wins, right, guys? Right?
Well, not absolutely 100% exactly. When I started covering this story in the springtime, what was just interesting to me is, like, you know, they think that upstate New York and parts of Pennsylvania could become the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. Isn't that funny? But what we learned in doing our reporting, Abram and I, is that when something like this happens, you have a really big, incredibly profitable industry that is in command of all the facts that it needs moving into a state where they're not used to it. Uh-huh. So even though New York State, for example, has about 13,000 active gas wells, which I think most New Yorkers don't know, they're all the way in the western part of the state, most of them, and they're conventional wells. Well, these wells that they'd be drilling in the Catskills and in parts of Pennsylvania are unconventional wells. They require about 6 million gallons of water per well. That's a ton of water
to actually do the drilling
that you're contaminating in the process of doing the drilling. You have to think about where it's going to come from, where it's going to go, how you're going to treat it. So these are all things that we are finding that that government is having to scramble to figure out.
It's a kind of an energy illiteracy that puts the communities at a disadvantage. Where in the United States has this happened where there have been consequences that maybe people in the Catskills need to pay attention to? Abram?
Well, there's been substantial drilling across Texas and New Mexico and Wyoming and Colorado for a number of years, starting in the late 1990s. And they're starting to see now that there are substantial impacts on the environment. And I don't think that in many of these states, with the exception of Texas, where drilling is happening almost in the city of Fort Worth, that there had been close attention paid to the original impacts because these are very remote rural areas. But now they're starting to see, in one case at least, an impact to an underground water aquifer, and in many cases, impacts to people's groundwater wells and drinking water supplies.
And actually, people from the West and some of the experiences that you describe have interacted with community members in the Catskills to tell their story, I suspect, to at least provide a cautionary tale for people as they proceed. Here's one such voice.
And this blowout released several hundred tons of toxic chemicals that were used in the hydraulic fracturing, this was the drilling and production drilling process where the well blew out, lost circulation, and they had to evacuate people in the community for, I think it was about 3 days.
Ilya, you actually attended this meeting where this Wyoming resident, Jill Morrison, talked to a crowd in Walton, New York.
Yeah, this was kind of incredible. You had three people from Western states with firsthand experience of gas drilling flown in, on a shoestring to talk to this community.
By whom?
It was by Catskill Mountain Keeper, which is a local group.
An advocacy group,
and unashamedly a group that is skeptical of drilling. But they wanted to know, okay, it's happened in these places, what can we learn from the example? So Jill Morrison is a resident of the Powder River Basin in Wyoming, where there's a ton of gas drilling. She was talking about an instance where when a well is drilled, and Abram might know better than me, you often flare it at the beginning when it's burning off some of that initial rush of gas. Well, that can be really, really toxic. And I think particularly out in a place like Wyoming, maybe they thought, oh, not so many people around. Well, a lot of people are downwind of that. And so they found that there were a lot of nuisances associated with the drilling that you had to anticipate.
Let me ask this quickly. In terms of learning from other places where this drilling has taken place and some of the potential problems associated now, is that information accessible? Is that something that is easily passed on to the communities in upstate New York as they move forward in trying to decide whether they want that to happen in their communities?
I think, like many things, it's accessible if you search it out. If you're diligent and you go and you Google for a couple hours and you look at what the environmental agencies, the EPA, and the state regulatory agencies in these states have available, there's a wealth of information available from toxicology test results to people's testimonies.
But certainly, I think the questions that are going to be asked and the debates that these communities are going to be getting into represent a real sea change in the politics in an environment where there's, $130 a barrel oil, and also potentially the way these communities are going to look if the drilling actually takes place. Thanks so much for finding the details of the story. Ilya Maritz is a WNYC reporter. Abram Lustgarten is a reporter for ProPublica, looking at the Catskill Mountains, considering themselves as a natural gas resource in this energy environment. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.